How did you stick with the name Utaki? Because I feel like with me, when I've been planning so many of my things, I struggle to stick with one type of design, one type of name.
It's either a very brave or dumb to name a brand and call it Utaki.
Yeah.
And again, I took that as a challenge, right?
Mm. I'm sure as when you're choosing a team, it's very difficult to set heads of departments. What traits did Snapper have that, you know, you decided that now this person can definitely head my design team?
Yeah, Snapper's story is quite unique, man. He actually DM'd me. Don't DM me, guys. But he DM'd me. We actually initially met, I think, in a taxi years ago. We met in a taxi, and I think I saw her textbook, fashion, what. And I took her number then.
Yeah.
And there was no building, guys. There was no company like that. I was selling from my room.
Yeah.
But because of the vision I had, I was like, maybe one day we'll afford her and she'll cut me. But yeah, sorry, continue. I just wanted to.
I think, you know, as Tato said earlier, people see a success story and they see a finished product and they say, wow, you know, well done, congratulations. But maybe as, you know, as a question we asked him earlier, you can speak on some of the trials that you've overcome as a team, you know, and how you worked on that. Because I think viewers back home, I mean, we're all working in groups of five, you know, so it'd be nice to hear from you, you know, how your team tries to get that vision across.
Okay, let me speak for myself first, so...
You're not to speak for the co-way,
no,
guys.
No, and then I will, you know... Yeah.
Excellent, Shafi Nguzo. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Seatail with Level and Tato Rampedi. Guys, today we're in a new scenery because we have a live audience and we're interviewing somebody very, very special. If you guys don't know, to the live audience and to us watching online, we create a platform where we can heal through our conversations and we have uncomfortable conversations in a very light-hearted manner. I'm a brother to Lebo Rampedi. Lebo Rampedi is a brother to me, and we're very excited to today's episode.
Yeah, guys, as you can see, we're in a different place. There's a lot of beautiful and attractive people in front of me. I might even say hello to some after. But, yo, we are super, super, super excited. We've got a mind that we just really, really want to open up. Oh, man, this brand is something special, and obviously we want to ask him the deeper questions for you back home to understand how not only to be an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur that pushes culture, you know? So, yeah, man, we are very excited. Want to welcome him in.
I feel like every episode we do a, you know, how are you?
Yeah.
I want to speak about how we're doing. So I think we can do a quick 30-second how are you? How are you? Yeah. How have you been these past few days?
I'm okay, man. I mean, yo, this weather in Gauteng, guys, we live in Cape Town. I mean... It's impossible to predict. I wore a jacket the other day, it rained, and then it became hot. But I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I've been like overwhelmed these past couple of days.
Yeah.
So I've been learning how to regulate, you know, being overwhelmed. I feel like because I've been doing so many new things, it's like I'm learning new problems.
Yeah.
And I've been really struggling with just learning how to deal with these new problems. So every day everything comes at me so hot, and then it takes time for me to learn, you know, how I'm feeling. So with time, I'm seeing that, okay, cool, when this thing comes, it needs this amount of time, it needs this type of thinking. So yeah, I'm good though.
Yeah, at least we're going to learn a couple of tricks from our guest who you guys are going to see soon.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very excited about this one.
Yeah. But I think we can put our hands together and invite Mongezi in. Yeah, I'm very excited for the interview.
Have a seat.
I'm sure you've done so many of these, so many interviews.
Something like that.
How are you doing before we start, you know?
I'm good. I'm excited.
You look good too, yeah? Okay. You want to show them both sides?
Yeah, try.
So every time we start our podcast, we'll just do this thing where we ask each other, like, how are you?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, like, how have you been these past couple of days? You know, how was Mongezi?
Well, I've been looking forward to,
let's do this,
to having the conversation.
Yeah.
And obviously the launch that we're doing. So I'm pretty much feeling good and excited to obviously have you guys and have us on your show, as well as our beautiful guests as well. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah. I already have my first question. I feel like every time people interview, you know, figures, the first question is like, who's Mongezi? Like, you know, what do you do?
Where were you born?
Where are you from? I want to know, when did entrepreneurship finally hit you and you felt like, yeah, this is the path for me?
Jeez, man. I think if I remember well, my journey started somewhere in high school. I grew up with my late grandmother. She was selling pretty much everything, man, from achar to sweets to the popotwa and the ice blocks. So for me, selling was kind of like ingrained in me.
Yeah.
From a young age. So I kind of like, I guess the bug bit me as well somewhere in high school. I started selling chocolates and sweets around 15, 16. So I guess the fundamentals of being an entrepreneur or entrepreneurship at a lower level, I'd say it started around 15, 16 in high school.
I think when we speak about entrepreneurship, right, defining a brand and its brand values is like one of the biggest things, right? You speaking about how you went from selling sweets at 15 to obviously now a full-on clothing brand.
Sure.
When did you start discovering your brand values and saying to yourself, okay, this is what I want to make, you know?
For Utaki.
Yeah.
So for Utaki, for us, our journey has been such an incredible journey, man. We've been progressing slowly. Trying to find our voice and place and position in the market, right? And in terms of our brand values, it was quite easy to understand what our brand values are or were at, as it was, in the sense that how the brand started, it wasn't started because I was locked up in my room somewhere and had a genius idea.
Yeah.
My story is actually quite accidental on how Utaki came to be. And maybe I can share a bit about that. So how it started was, I was in my room in Tembisa, I think 2017, 18, and there was a T-shirt that was doing the rounds at the time. I'm not sure if you guys are old enough to know this T-shirt, right? So the T-shirt was written Umlungu. Simple font.
Oh, I remember those T-shirts.
Yeah. So I liked the there was something about the T-shirt, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted something similar, but that could speak to me as Utaki, you know? And I sat in my room, I brainstormed a couple of words, names, and I eventually stuck with Utaki. Went to a shop, Mr. Price, got a T-shirt, played around on Adobe. I had a very, very cranky laptop, designed something quickly using a cracked version of Illustrator. That did a mock-up, took it to the printers, used my credit card, store account rather, Mr. Price, and then that was the beginning of the brand. Started with that one T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm curious about the mindset when you start taking these types of risks. Yeah? I feel like, you know, young people that want to become entrepreneurs and start brands and start businesses, they're so scared of taking that first step and that first, you know, movement towards success. What do you think fueled you to take that first step of, you know, cracking that software, you know, and finally printing out the shirt, finding the supplier to actually print out what you wanted, you know?
Personally, I think I have a high appetite for risk. I don't know how many times I've been told something won't work. And for some reason, my mind thinks,
okay,
it processes it as the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's see if it won't work. So it's been a common trait across my life where when people tell me or the universe shows me that this thing won't work, it's when it propels me to even try much, much harder. So I think it's a personality trait of mine, to have a high risk appetite.
That is very powerful.
I think when we, you know, speaking about a dream and stuff, we always hear you are your space, you know, and you are your team, you know. And team building is essentially one of the biggest parts of running a company.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, for example, you know, we work as brothers, as you guys can understand, that can be very tough. I'm the younger brother. So sometimes it's no, my...
You look troublesome.
Yeah, I'm very much, you know. But building the perfect team for the perfect mission, you know? How do you think you've done that? How did you surround yourself with people that truly embody Utaki?
Jeez, yeah.
Deep question,
man. That's a good one, yeah. That's a good one, man. It goes back to what you asked earlier. And even outside of the team, right? We look at what is Utaki, you know? What are the values of being Utaki, you know? Just to share with you, some of our values is being unapologetic, you know, and who you are and your skin, whatever the case is, you know, having a sense of pride and self, right? Just having a level of excellence in your work, just to name a few.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things we look at forget experience, forget that. Young people don't have experience. I mean, we all know the statistics around our unemployment, right? But for me, to build a team, you have to embody and carry some of those values, at least. Mm. And it sets the tone for me to build a team that is cohesive and can work together and towards a common goal and vision.
You're going to have to excuse me, Tata. I have a follow-up question on that. So sure. With your team, you know, I think we have this belief that, you know, once you make it, you know, everything's just rolling nice, your team has no problems. How do you deal with conflict in your world? You know, maybe someone has an opposing idea and et cetera. How do you, in a sense, be a leader? You know what I'm saying? Sure. I don't know if you get my question there.
I think I'll give it a whack. So with working with me is easy, but very hard.
Okay.
Because I ask a lot of questions. If you propose an idea, the first question I'm going to ask is why. That's it. Mm-hmm. If you don't know why, then I'll reject it right then and there. So I force my team to kind of like tap into themselves so that they can unlock critical thinking. Because questions that it's not, most of the time it's not that people can't answer questions. They don't want to answer the difficult questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't ask yourself those questions, someone else will. And in our world, that someone is a customer. And that is a very dangerous game to play, because we must have the answers and the solutions for the customer. Mm. That's what keeps us in business.
Mm.
Nah, very nice answer.
Yeah.
Wish I can catch you off guard. I feel like you've done prepared reading. I'm going to catch you off guard. But it's a very, very nice answer.
You know, one thing that I personally struggle with when it comes to like building brands and building people is the actual brand identity and the naming of the brands. How did you stick with the name Udagi? Because I feel like with me, when I've been planning so many of my things, I struggle to stick with one type of design, one type of name.
Mm. Yeah, great question. You know, there was an expert a couple of years ago when I was consulting, I think it was during COVID, 2020. He's worked with big brands, Nando's, MTN, and them. And so we were just doing some consultative work, right? Mm. And he said to me, you know, you have to be very, it's either very brave or dumb to name a brand and call it Udagi.
Yeah.
And again, I took that as a challenge, right? Mm. But the other half of me understood what he meant, because we can't shy away from the fact that historically the name Udagi has been used in a negative light, right? Mm. That's just what it is. Either by our racial counterparts or even ourselves, right? It's used in our common language, it's used to complain like, corruption, you're about that, you know, type of thing. So we took that as a challenge to say, can we actually put a spin on this thing and build a reputable brand, not just clothing brand, guys, like can we build a brand around this name and basically redefine the narrative.
Mm.
And in closing, the name for me, and this is information I obviously had to get from our customers. A lot of our customers indicated that the name has so much resonance to them or with them.
Yeah.
It has so much power to them. So for me, it didn't or doesn't make sense to shy away from something that has so much gravitational pull.
Mm.
So that was an easy one for us to actually stay with the name and actually make it our logo, because our name is the main logo.
Yeah,
I like the whole idea of redefining something to empower it, you know, and I think that's really what you've done. You know, we're putting back value into what I would say is Black culture, you know.
Sure.
And with you speaking to customers, I think, you know, one, that's phenomenal. But we've also heard of things such as friends of the brand.
Yes.
I think we heard a story the other day. Yeah. I don't know how much you can speak about it. Yeah. I don't know who we can speak into full, you know, but we've heard stories about friends of the brand and how their stories contribute into yours. And I want to know, how do you keep so much brand alignment around you, you know?
Mm.
You know, we always find people saying, Chomi, maybe you should change, you know, but you keep strong to your brand, you know?
Sure.
But maybe you can tell me more about the friends of the brand and how that all started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, most of the blueprint and the ethos of the brand is actually built by the customer without them knowing. We pride ourselves in using customer insights, what works for them, what their preferences are, and. So we took some of the most valuable values that matter to our customer and basically centered those things and said, look, how can we magnify and make this exponential, right? And we looked at, look, there are certain popular figures in different genres, actors, artists, musicians, and so on and so forth, who have the same values that our customers have. And we identify them to say, look, we think you embody these values, and we'd like you to come on this journey with us for that reason. And that's pretty much how the Friends of the Brand came to be. It's essentially popular figures that align to the brand and vice versa.
Did that inspire your new collection, You Discover, or how did that come about?
Somewhat, but the You Discover collection is more of an individual celebration of each person's journey. The inspiration behind the collection was to celebrate each individual's journey, right? How it started when we were still ideating, the pattern was actually quite straight. What you see now is more of a squiggly, never-ending, swerving journey. This is to denote the journey of life, you know? No one really has a straight journey. And we're saying we're putting your journey on a garment to celebrate you as an individual, as Utaki. Hence, it's the you for you and you for Utaki as well.
Oh, damn, that's powerful.
Nah, really, really, really mess with that. I think people back home are probably listening to this and being like, you know what, I wish I was this guy. They don't understand maybe the strength that you had to obviously obtain to be where you are. Maybe you can speak more to that, you know, the certain things that you had to work on, the things that you're still working on as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because I think they would be very interested to see, like, what type of skills you have in your toolbox.
Yeah. Look, some are natural, right?
Yeah. So some are talented. Tell it.
some are natural. I'd say probably 30% is just natural.
Okay.
The rest is really self-improvement, man. I read a lot.
Okay.
Like, when you come into my space, it's just books. Right. I've fallen off a bit, but I read a lot. Because I think that's the hack. You know? Just always seeking out knowledge to say, okay, I don't know how to do this. Then you can learn how to do it, right? No one really taught me how to run a business. I've had to, okay, I don't have the time to learn by trial and error. Let me try and read a book of certain entrepreneurs. I've read books on Steve Jobs, Elon Musk's, Mark Zuckerberg, and so on and so forth, so that at least it cuts my learning curve a bit shorter. So for me, reading and consumption of new concepts and knowledge is at the pinnacle of.
Yeah, I feel like we respect and see a lot of figures like yourself who have achieved a certain status in their careers, but I feel like we don't speak about the trials and tribulations to get to that space. So I want to know what comes to mind when we ask you what's one of the toughest moments in Utaki's career, or even in your career, that you had to, you know, overcome, and how did you overcome them and see, you know, a step past that moment?
Maybe I'll kick off with my personal challenges. It's not even a long time ago, dude. It's probably 2018, 19. I at some point I was homeless, you know, just hopping from one friend to the other, squatting. I lost my mom at a very, very young age. I think I was like 4 months. I had to live with relatives. Grew up with my grandmother, who was pretty much surviving on a social grant. You know, but I just took those challenges as they came, you know, because that was my life. Those were the cards that the world dealt to me. So I have quite a thick skin. And I think that has kind of shaped me in terms of having the grit and the resolve personally. And in terms of Utaki, I mean, the challenges are plenty. Just building the name, the brand with that name.
It's just crazy.
You know? Even for me, I'm like, are we really doing this every day, you know? And to throw another spanner in the works, to make it a luxurious brand or to make it a higher pricing point brand is just, it's just crazy. Mm. But for me, that's what makes it exciting, you know, because no one is doing that.
Yeah.
No one is doing that. And for me, that's where the excitement is, to say, can we actually do it? I always tell my team, be open to failure, guys. Even if we fail, let's fail having had fun.
Yeah.
And I think we're having fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll be continuing the podcast. We've brought in one of the team from Udaki. First of all, you can introduce yourself, say your name, what's your position?
Okay. My name is Spanye, and I'm the logistics and supply chain manager for Udaki.
Okay. I feel like he must close his eyes. We're going to use chat because the boss is near. We're going to, the boss can look left while we ask the deeper questions. But actually, for you, we always speak about teamwork, and how that makes the dream work, you know?
Yeah.
Speak to us, I mean, both of you can answer this question as you like, about what it's like building the dream team, you know? I think we want to see, obviously, hear from your perspective, being part of the team and how you got into the team. But you guys can just talk me through a bit of that, you know?
Okay, honestly, it's really not easy. It's quite difficult, especially for a startup. So the pressure is really high, and yes, so we try as much as we can to put in the work, although sometimes we feel like we're not putting in much work and we're not making him as proud as he would like us to make him. So yeah.
I think that, and you can speak to this, when one of the biggest problems that entrepreneurs have is delegating. You know, I think we hold on to ideas. We try to make sure everything is perfect to the way we like it. Speak to us about how you've learned to delegate and let go a bit of some of the work in order to have the overall dream work, you know?
Sure. Great question, Liv. So I actually learned this quite recently, right? Delegating is somewhat of an art form, right? In the sense that you need systems to delegate. When you delegate without systems, that's just being careless.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually sharing with the team. They were saying I'm hogging some of their work. And I'm like, because I haven't created a system enough to basically help you to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't just give someone a task and there's no system or procedures for them to do the task. It's me basically setting them up for failure, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, delegating has to have systems, and then it makes it quite easy. Then you can delegate, you know, it's quite easy.
I think, you know, as Tato said earlier, people see a success story and they see a finished product and they say, wow, you know, well done, congratulations. But maybe as, you know, as a question we asked him earlier, you can speak on some of the trials that you've overcome as a team, you know, and how you worked on that. Because I think viewers back home, I mean, we're all working in groups of five, you know, so it'd be nice to hear from you, you know, how your team tries to get that vision across.
Okay, let me speak for myself first. So,
you're not to speak for the core,
no,
guys.
And then I will, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
One thing that Mongezi has picked up from me, he says that I panic a lot.
Mm.
And in order for me not to panic, I need to look at what's the objective of this goal. So before I panic, I need to like check and then what's the objective? Calm down, relax, and then I'll get things done. So with the team, I think like you said, teamwork makes the dream work. We try as much as we can to push.
Mm.
Yeah.
I obviously know that when you have an idea, you know, you do your planning, you do your budget. But one of the things also that we do is how many people will this take? For you, what would you say was like your dream team of amount? Like amount of your, how many people could you have in your team and how you were going to utilize them? We can divide them in divisions, you know, in order to obtain what Udaki really wanted.
Yeah.
Because people always struggle with how many people must I employ?
Yeah.
You know?
True. In fact, I don't think it's necessarily about quantity, you know? I'll use a cliche. It's really about the quality of work that you can get out of your team. I'm very optimistic and I'm very resourceful. So I believe in using what you have until you see that, okay, no, maybe I need more. So no one does one job here. Everyone is doing something else. If you're in logistics, you're also in sales, you know. You welcome customers, customer service. I do it sometimes when I'm around, you know. So once I can see that the team now can't necessarily, that they've reached their limit, then I circle back and try and mitigate those risks by saying, look, maybe we now do have to hire. So that's just my kind of way of doing it.
Yeah. You know, with you working in a team, my brother and I have this belief that creativity and just being creative as a whole is very based on the person. Mm. And I think that obviously with Daki's imagery, you know, you guys all have a say of how you'd like it to be creative. How do you think you contribute into the overall values and the creativity of the team, you know?
That's a tricky one because...
In the logistics.
Yeah. That's a tricky one. Yeah, but I think with us, like Mwenzi said, we are, we do everything. But at the end of the day, I guess you can only add so much.
Yeah.
Yes, and then there's times when obviously the design team would ask our inputs, but at the end of the day, they are the ones that decide on the finals. And then when it comes to sales, I think everyone is just involved in sales and we work together as a team. So we try as much as we can to push and please the customer because that's what's more important.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I like how you are completely utilizing not one skill per person, but mm-hmm. multiple skills. We have this belief that the more you grow a person, the more your company grows, you know?
100%.
The skills that you, you know, obviously give to your team ultimately elevate, you know, the entire company as a whole.
No?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, so what was the creative thinking behind that advert?
I think, do you want to...
Yes, I think yeah, I can.
So this is Snap, everybody. He's a part of the design team.
Head of Dutty.
He's head of design at Dutty. So yeah. Welcome to Snap, bro.
And hi everyone.
Yeah, I actually asked him off camera. He actually designed the collection. So
yeah,
I'm curious to know how that was. But can you take us through the video?
Okay, so basically the video is inspired by the collection, right?
Yeah.
So the collection is basically based on individuals' journeys. So we're embracing different journeys, different paths of everyone who's actually trying to reach their goals or chase their dreams. So the video basically it depicts different journeys of women, you know? It's like a game of maze, you know? They come from different angles of life, you know, but they all come together to celebrate one dream. So basically that's the idea of the video.
That's amazing.
Simple as that.
It's an amazing video. I think congratulations to you and the team. You guys
really
executed. I'm curious, as a team, with your design team, how do you receive how he's trying to, you know, portray the image of the designs? Like, if he says, yo, Snap, I want to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, how do you bring his visions to life?
I think that's one of the toughest responsibility I have.
Yeah.
Because now, the ideas that he has, sometimes they're not as complete, you know? And whatever that I have to design, it has to leave a message or for someone who's outside to understand without being told what this actually means,
yeah.
You know? Because already the word itself, it's a derogatory word. So how do you change that using a graphic or a visual or a photo? It's kind of a difficult task that I have, but I try by all means to make it simple for us to understand and to explain to the viewer or the customer or, you know, third party.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
That's cool. And I'm sure when you're choosing a team, it's very difficult to set heads of departments. What traits did Snapper have that, you know, you decided that now this person can definitely head my design team?
Yeah, Snapper's story is quite unique, man. He actually DM'd me. Yeah, don't DM me, guys. But he DM'd me. He DM'd me and told me he'd like to collaborate, what. And I was like, look, come through, let's see what you can do. He came in as he was about to graduate as a, what were you doing?
Graphic design.
Graphic design. I think he was doing his final year. And just his hunger for the work and just allowing himself to touch a lot of things, because I'd give him this, learn this, give him this, learn that. It allowed me to basically trust him and invest for the brand to invest a lot. I mean, when he came in, he had the highest, the most expensive laptop we had in the company was his, right? So that we give him the tools, right? So that he can do what he wants to do.
Yeah. As you're speaking about giving him the highest, you know, price laptop, how important do you think it is to invest back into your team? And what are some things that you've done to do that?
It's important to reinvest in the team. I mean, if not, then what's the point? You know, because you want to give people the tools to equip them to essentially get the most out of them. You don't want someone, especially in his line of work, he was complaining a couple of weeks ago about the slowness of his computer, right? As tough as it was, we had to dig in, like spend so much money to buy all these gadgets and you know, we use Apple stuff, right? So those things are very, very pricey.
Yeah.
But it's important to give him the tools that he can enjoy also, you know, to give you the work such as that.
Yeah. But I'm curious, Napa, with this collection, what was the journey to really bring it to life from a design perspective?
So maybe let me take you back to where it started.
Sure.
So it was me and our previous fashion designer that we used to work with. So we were just chilling outside, and then he came with an idea. He said, guys, I need you to create a pattern. Mm-hmm. And I think on that day, I was on a creative block, really. Yeah, yeah, I think you just know that now. I was on a creative block, really. And then I was just writing on the book, you know, trying to think of an idea. And as I was just drawing around, this pattern came out, you know? And then I was like to Gift, do you think this thing can live on clothes? And then Gift, he was like, actually it can live on clothes. You know, so we discussed that with Mungezi. And then he said, okay, you know what? Let me see it first so to understand. And then when we put it on clothes, it was like there's something that is missing, you know. So we're like, okay, rather let's put in the logo just to brand the pattern and make it ours. So hence you see the UD in the logo. Yes. And then we said, okay, now what's the story behind it? You know, we had to, again, start over. What are we trying to achieve with this pattern?
Yeah.
You know, we were like, okay, actually, if you look at this, it's like a maze, you know? But like, what does a maze mean? The objective of a maze is just, it has a start and a destination. You know, so that's how the idea came about, that people have journeys. They start somewhere. You start as a little kid, you grow up, you face challenges, you know, there's a lot in every journey. And everyone experiences like different challenges.
Yeah.
But we always try to reach that one goal, all of us. So that was the whole idea.
That's beautiful.
Like everyone else, obviously, we start off with you introducing yourself. What's your role at Udaki? So you can go ahead and do that.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Ntombi Kayise, and I am Udaki's fashion designer.
Okay, cool. So you discover.
Yes.
How long does it take? I think everyone wants to know this. How long does it take to go from scratch, hey guys, let's do a new line, let's do a new clothing, and to it finally being done? How long would it take?
It takes forever. It does take forever, because there's a lot that we put into the work, and sometimes we don't agree on the same thing, so we have to go back and forth and also seek approval from Mungezi. And then I think, yeah, it takes about maybe, let me say, 3 months.
Yeah, because I think people back home, they have this idea that people are in a room, like a meeting room, like, add black, add a color, you know, it's actually so much more. And maybe you can speak to what the clothes mean to you, you know, and like what's your personal journey with designing it, and obviously it meaning so much to you. Like, so you can talk about that.
Okay, so I can say that before you can actually do anything in the fashion industry, you obviously have to do some research and look at the recent trends that are happening, what's happening around the world, who's wearing what, And then obviously you can now find inspiration from that. I can say that right now, the trends that are going on is obviously baggy fits and boxy fits. So that's why our You Discover is the way it is. And then fashion means so much to me, and you need to put in the passion and the work for you to get to where we are right now.
Yeah. I think, as we spoke about when building a team, you know, we look for the strengths in people and we look for, you know, the people that will align. How do you pick something so sensitive as a fashion designer? Because I need people to understand back at home. This is the person who's ultimately going to, you know, hold your hand in the idea that you have, you know? So how were you able to pick, you know, such talented individuals?
I think I have if I do say so myself, I think I do have an eye for talent, right? Okay. Or potential talent. And it's a matter of just guiding people towards a certain vision.
Yeah.
Yes, you're gonna have to fight quite a bit. I think some people have cried. when I rain down, I really go hard. Because for me, what we're doing here is very, very important. Mm-hmm. We don't, for better or worse, we don't have the leeway to, excuse my French, F up, right?
Yeah.
In the sense that our customers have indicated that there's an identity for them with the brand. And identity is not something you can toy with. So I make sure that the team understands that each design, as much as it can look pretty and everything, for me, the prettiness comes much, much later. Mm. It has to have meaning, and not just meaning for us as the people within the company, but even for the end consumer, because that's where the buck stops, right? So it has to have some resonance. It has to have some sentimental value, because people are paying their hard-earned money. And our products are really, if we're being honest and frank, they're not the cheapest. So we need to make sure that our product really pays respect to our customers and taps into their emotional side as well.
I want to ask you, because obviously being a creative comes with, as we all know, a lot of rejection. Like a lot of rejection. What sort of, I want to say, mental skills have you placed on yourself to not only be one with like an iron will in your craft, but always be able to deliver in the way that you want to?
I think you should not give up, because obviously Mungezi is going to say no to a lot of things. So you need to constantly put in the work and come up with new designs all the time. Yeah, because you can't give up and just...
You can't
just because
give up.
You've got to know, doesn't mean you need to stop, you know?
Yeah. I feel as if, as we've met, you know, each member of the team, how well you've translated not your care onto them. You know, it's... You know, speaking from my own experience, you know, having a manager, for example, it is very hard, and I think people will agree, it is very hard to have a dream, have so much care for your dream, and convince an employee to care more than money to also care about your dream. And from what we're hearing, you know, you truly have a knack for this. And maybe you can express to the audience, you know, how you were able to translate your care to your employees. Very difficult question, that one, guys.
Yeah.
However, I'm not. But we are speaking professional English. I nearly said however. But yeah, you're saying, sorry.
You're stupid. It's a compliment for you to even say I have a knack for it. Because I only figured that out sometime this year, you know. We started doing trainings, because as much as I would come in here and there and try to translate what's in my mind and what the customer kind of wants to the team, they just didn't get it to the level that I needed them to, or at least care to the level that I needed them to care at the minimum as much as I do, if not more. So we started, I think, 3 months ago. Every week we have trainings. Literally, we're all training. And then after a few weeks, we have assessments on the training. Who we are, why do we do what we do, why it matters, what's the impact, what are the objectives, and so on and so forth. So those trainings have really bear incredible fruits, because I can literally leave the room and you can ask her anything about the brand, and she'll kill it, right? Yeah. And that goes for any team member. And for me, that's very paramount in if you really want to build a scalable and long-lasting brand. It has to outlive me and certainly them. And that's, I think that's the way to go about it.
I want to ask you, and we'll close off with this question for you. You know, Steffi is just like, if you had a message for your younger self, you know, and you really want to touch their heart and say, yo, don't give up on this thing, you know, what would you say to your younger self about your designing life and what
can
they
I
need to
learn? Can I
tell
you something?
Go ahead.
I studied from the year 2015 till 2018, fashion school.
Yeah.
And after that, I had a lot of responsibilities at home, so I had to find a job and work. So my whole life, I've worked at retail.
Mm.
And then Umongezi found me, and I had already given up on...
Can I interject? Sorry.
Okay.
It's a very important thing. No. We actually initially met, I think, in a taxi years ago. We met in a taxi, and I think I saw her textbook, fashion, what, and I took her number then.
Yeah.
And there was no building, guys. There was no company like that. I was selling from my room.
Yeah.
But because of the vision I had, I was like, ah, maybe one day we'll afford her and she'll come in. But yeah, sorry, continue. I just wanted to.
Yeah, but I had already given up on my fashion dream.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would ever pursue a career in fashion. I just thought I should, you know, find a job to survive and to provide for my family. But then when he gave me that opportunity, I was very grateful. I still am very grateful. And all I can say is people should not give up on their dreams just because of the circumstances that they find themselves in. So you need to push until you get to where you want to be.
Yeah, yo, very powerful stuff, yo. I think we can all agree, wow, like, very beautiful stuff. Very excited to see what you do in the future. But Tata's back now.
Yeah, so we wanted to touch on your other collection.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you please tell us a little bit more about it and how it came about?
Our latest and last collaborative collection, actually it's our first official collaboration. We did it with, I'm not sure if he's here. Is King Kid here? No, he's not here. Yeah, so we did it with... I don't even want to call him an upcoming rapper because he's making waves.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did a collection. Again, we looked at the values that he embodies and our values. And what basically made it a full circle moment for us is to find out that he's also from Tembisa. I'm from Tembisa. So the brand was incepted, I guess, in Tembisa, you know. He comes from Maibuye, which is somewhat an informal place. But his journey so far, at least, you know, he's getting recognition from the Timberlands of this world, and so many other big international artists.
Mm.
So for us, he embodied the Utaki story. Mm. That regardless of where you come from, it doesn't mean that's where you should end, right?
Yeah.
And it just so happened that when we reached out to him, he wasn't even this big. Soon after, then he just blew up like that. So. Yeah, that's essentially how the collaboration came about.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I really like what you just said. Sorry. It doesn't matter where you come from. Can you just finish that line one more time? Say that. It's gone now.
It's gone.
Yeah, because that doesn't determine where you end.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And I think that we will, as you know, myself and the viewers, we're probably going to hear that and digest it in the fact of truly, truly, truly true in the fact of where you start doesn't determine your destination.
Mm. Absolutely. And that's just our journey and how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we've really enjoyed this conversation. I think we want to both say thank you for letting us into your mind and coming on to our podcast. We hope to see you again very soon on the podcast.
Of course.
I think we feel like we haven't had a chance to like go deeper because we'd like to know about more about Mwangezi. Sure. But to the audience at home and live, thank you so much, guys. Please do subscribe if you're into the channel. It was Sito Level and Tata Rampedi. We have uncomfortable conversations in a very light-hearted manner. So we'll see you guys next week, Wednesday. Shoo.
Ray-Bans and catamarans, maybe give me a life, maybe living a life.
Ray-Bans and catamarans.